Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing a conversation we've been having all week with Barbara Heil. Barbara's from Iowa, came all the way up here to Ann Arbor for our annual conference here in town that called The Gathering that we have at Renewal Ministries. And I want to mention to you, if you've never heard about Renewal Ministries, you'd like to know more about what we're doing, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. What you'll find there is not only these radio programs, which are archived that you can download, listen to whenever it's convenient for you. We also have our television programs, lots of material that we've published that's available, a lot of free stuff there on the website that I think would encourage you in your walk with the Lord, but also information about the international work we're doing around the world, supporting the Catholic Church on the ground and its work of evangelization in about 50 different countries at this point. So that's there, but I want to welcome back Barbara.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, yesterday we were talking about this. You ended up, after 30 years, is 30 the right number, roughly 29 years
somewhere
or something?
Somewhere in
yeah,
there,
okay,
yeah.
30 years as a Pentecostal pastor, you made your way into the Catholic Church or coming into the church, and you were studying at this Catechetical Institute in the Twin Cities. And tell us more about that whole experience. And one of the things you said at the end of the program, I think is an important thing for us to discuss, is you loved everything you were learning and absorbing, but there was a flag that kept going up for you,
a red flag.
So why don't you remind us what that is, because you ended the program yesterday with that, because I think it's worth noting, somebody from your background, the observation you made. And so,
well, the observation that I made was I was finding myself visiting these Catholic churches, and especially historic cathedrals, there'd be a lot of visitors and things like that. And I was noticing, basically what I would say was, they were fish trying to jump in the boat, and nobody was manning the nets. There was zero evangelism going on. There was not, people were not aware that there were visitors trying to learn about the church. There was nobody cognizant of what needed to be done, or even that there was something that needed to be done. And I was at the Catechetical Institute in St. Paul, Minnesota, the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. I began to learn the Catechism of the Catholic Church, going through the four pillars, fabulous teachers. And I had my list of objections. I would go to the class having studied my homework and thinking, but this, but what about that? Because if you tuned in earlier this week, you understood I had a certificate on how to win a Catholic. So I was loaded with reasons not to be Catholic. And I, as I'm going through the catechism in this class, I'm listing all of my objections. And I get to the class and the presenter would, without my saying a word, would address all of my issues. And I would leave there weeping at the beauty that was in the Catholic Church. The beauty, the teaching, the logic, how scriptural. Everything's founded in scripture and tradition, but a lot of scripture.
Yeah.
And I just was being blown away. And I thought, well, Lord, a person like me, people like me don't become Catholic. I'd met a lot of people that had been Catholic, but I never had met anybody who became Catholic. And then when I was around Catholics in Mass and in different situations, I was concerned, because how could you have all this beauty and this truth and this life? I mean, when you're baptized, prophet, priest, and king, with your baptism, at confirmation, receiving the Holy Spirit, letting that fullness of the Holy Spirit come upon your life, to be loaded with the history of the church, the background, and to not be sharing, and to not be witnessing, and to not understand you're equipped to change the world, to change people's trajectory through eternity, the power of that. It's not just Peter that was given the keys. We were all given the keys of life. And if I told you that you were equipped to make a difference in someone's life that would change their eternal trajectory, not just of where they were going to end up, are they going to make it to heaven? It's not just about that. It's where are they going to end up now? Mm-hmm. How are they going to live their life now? Are they going to live feasting on God and filled with hope and filled with purpose and locked and loaded and ready to embrace their identity as the children of God? Or are they going to keep wandering through life broken, hopeless, alone, isolated? Brothers and sisters, we have the keys to set people free through our baptismal promises, through walking in the Word of God, through walking in our faith and living our faith. And part of living our faith is sharing our faith. That is not an option. It's a command. Jesus said, you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, as someone who loves people and has seen God do so much, as I was contemplating the church, this was a huge issue for me because I had yet to see a Catholic evangelist. I had yet to see anybody really sharing their faith. I know they're out there.
Yeah.
And I knew they were then. There's a lot more now. There, I see a lot more now that have come into the church as well. But at that time, this was an issue for me. And also, I thought, if I do this, I'm going to give up everything. Mm. I'm going to give up my ministry. I'm going to give up my church. I'm going to give up my Bible school. I'm going to give up everybody and everything. And I did. And I had to. And as I was coming to that point, I remember going to Jeff Cavins at the Institute. And I was like, okay, Jeff, I believe. I love the Eucharist. I can't wait to receive it. I believe I have, there's no more, there's nothing left in me that can say, no, I can't be a Catholic. I totally believe. And now I have a problem, but because I believe, now I'm accountable. What am I going to do with my belief? Mm-hmm. I can't just skate now, Peter. Now I've got to make a decision.
Right. Yeah.
And I have to say this too, because I'd seen God do so much, I'd seen healings. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen entire crowds of people get delivered from darkness at the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Part of going through the Catechetical Institute that I wanted to understand was, in the life of an ordinary Catholic, are they allowed to do this? And what I found out combing through the Catechism at the Institute was, they're not just allowed to do this, they're called to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That as Catholics, we're called to share the good news, that we also are called to lay hands on the sick, that we are called to be witnesses of the good news, that we're also called as Catholics to release the good news. And who better than a Catholic who's walking in the fullness of truth, especially if they're filled with the Spirit of God and pursuing the things of God, to share the good news and to preach the gospel. When I began to find this out, and I'd question the teachers and the priests and different ones at the Institute, well, I've already seen God do this, so I know he does it. What does the church teach about that? And they'd be like, that's absolutely church teaching. And then they'd show me, you know, in documents and things. And I was totally blown away. I thought, wow, I really am Catholic. I didn't know it. And I went to Jeff. Okay, Jeff, I believe. But, Jeff, wouldn't it be selfish of me to quit my little ministry, to quit my little Bible school, to quit training people for the mission field so that I could take the Eucharist? And Jeff Cavins, without batting an eye, said, I would hate to think that when the Lord is inviting you into a deep place of intimacy, that you would tell him you had better things to do.
Yeah.
And I went, whoa. I was like, okay. And it was just like a knife in my heart. And I was like, there is nothing better than obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I began to prepare. I do have to say one more thing about this. At the Institute, I met a couple, Dave and Sherry, from St. Paul, Minnesota. And they were the first and only Catholics that ever invited me to anything. People ask me, how did you end up being confirmed at that church? And I said, they're the ones who invited me. Mm-hmm. Evangelism is only an invitation.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just an invitation. And here were these dynamic, alive Catholics who celebrated their faith, who saw what God was doing in my life as a Protestant minister who's sitting in their catechetical institute. Hello, if that's not a softball being thrown at you, I don't know what is. And Dave started
waiting for you to say, excuse me, can I come to your house?
Well, I think we think about evangelism that way, that we think people are supposed to come to us. And it's like, no, we're supposed to go to them.
Yeah.
So Dave, every time he'd see me, he'd say, I think you should start RCIA. RCIA, he said, at this point, you probably could teach it, but I think you should go through RCIA. And I'd be like, oh, I don't have time for that. And he would harass me. Remember Madeline? I talked about my great-grandmother that meddled in my mother's life until she got me baptized.
Yeah.
Dave was the same way. He would, every time I'd see him, did you call Randy yet? Did you call Randy yet? I told him you were going to call. I told him to expect a call from you. And finally, I'm driving. I just landed in the Minneapolis airport, got my car out of parking. I'm heading over to the Catechetical Institute on a Monday night, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to see Dave again, and he's going to ask me again if I called Randy. And I thought, Lord, I can't tell him no this time. So I called Randy on the way to the Catechetical Institute. I get Randy on the phone. Randy, this is Barbara. He goes, I've been waiting to hear from you. I went, rats.
Yeah.
I said, I'm sure by now you're halfway through RCIA. Oh, no, you come on in. So I end up in RCIA because of an invitation.
Yeah.
Because somebody cared enough about me to stay in my business. And I called Randy, got going, started RCIA. Long story short, I end up having my first official communion at the hands of newly appointed Pope Francis at the Vatican on Holy Saturday. Had my communion there, had permission from the bishop to have my confirmation later when I came home. So April 27th, 2013, I was confirmed.
So how did you have your first communion with the Pope? How did that happen? I'm so jealous. I mean,
I was invited on a pilgrimage to Rome and Medjugorje. That's another whole story.
Yeah.
But I was invited to Rome and Medjugorje, and the priest that was leading this pilgrimage, he knew that I was coming into the Catholic Church, and it was blessed by Pope Francis. And when I say at his hands, I mean it was blessed by him. I wasn't I wasn't directly receiving from him, but I was on the front row, right there, you know, ready.
Yeah.
And it was so miraculous, and it was so beautiful and so amazing. And I will tell you, while we were waiting to get into the Vatican for that Holy Saturday meeting where I was going to have my first official communion, the Eucharist, I actually, there were thousands of people. We thought we'd get there early. Us and several other thousand people got there early. And I started, you know, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me right at St. Peter. And I started praying for healings right in front of St. Peter's Church. And we had, Catholics were getting healed left and right. It was an awesome, awesome day. So I had my first Eucharist there. And then, like I said, had my confirmation when I got back to St. Paul. And the thing, that amazing thing that happened is I had gone on to Medjugorje after that trip to Rome. I bought a statue of the Holy Mother, argued with God about this.
Yeah.
I am not buying a statue of the Holy Mother. Holy Spirit won. And I ended up coming home with a statue of the Holy Mother, which I gave to my mother. Today, my mother is back in the Catholic Church.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing. God's faithfulness. You know, also, there are people that helped you along the way, Barbara, but as you said a couple of shows ago, God put a hunger in you, put something in you from the time you didn't even know you were baptized as an infant.
And I had no idea.
His grace was there, and his grace carried you, and there he had you right at St. Peter's, right there, and receiving your first communion. There's just so much to it. I'd like to talk tomorrow a little bit about, you've talked a lot about what you've seen and done in the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to talk to some of our listeners, have you talk to our listeners about that tomorrow, if you don't mind. So will that work?
Awesome.
All right, friends, hope you can join us. Don't miss it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.